Let your senses transport you to a peaceful hideaway where beauty and tranquility are waiting for you. Enchanted nurseries and landscaping in Richmond. Striking display gardens, plants, shrubs, and trees accompanied by the sights and sounds of fountains, chimes, and whimsical garden art. Enchanted Forest on FM 2759 and Enchanted Gardens on FM 359. For three generations, family-owned, family-run, sharing their gardening passions, helping you find yours. Enchanted Nurseries and Landscaping. Discover them online at myenchanted.com.
Let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts. Now, here's Sandy Mosier with Joey Lunderman from Enchanted Nurseries in Richmond and Rosenberg.
Good Saturday morning. I am here with Joey Lunderman from Enchanted Nurseries. Beautiful locations they have, Enchanted Forest and Enchanted Gardens. I love the arrangement of how it's all arranged. The indoor plants, they are big on succulents. I mean, such beautiful, unique varieties of succulents. Whether you need any sort of mulches or topsoils, they've got a great, I know you've got a chart actually, so you can kind of figure out how much you need, which is nice. But I love the arrangement of the plants and the shrubs because, you know, they've got them in shaded areas for your shade, they have them in the sunny areas for the sun, and then of course all of the fruit trees. An expert advice, you don't just have to find Joey or Danny, you can talk to anybody who's working there, and it's just, they're beautiful locations, so check out the Enchanteds. We also have our experts who rotate through here on Home Show Garden Pros. We have Nelson's Nursery and Water Gardens, who rotates through here and takes your questions. We have Plants for All Seasons North, and we have Nature's Way Resources and Garden Center, and they are north of the Woodlands and south of Conroe. But Joey, right now we have Melva on the line. Melva, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you have for Joey?
I have a pine tree that's in my yard, and it's been there like maybe 35 years, as long as I've been in the house. And I heard him talking about watering deeply. Well, the pine tree, the roots are now showing on the sides of my sidewalk leading to my door, if that makes sense. And, you know, to the point where you can't even edge. And so I was wanting to know, should this tree be cut down? And if so, if we cut it down, would that stop the roots from growing?
I wouldn't say it necessarily needed to be cut down. Pine trees have mainly a tap root that goes straight down. So those are just some lateral roots there. You know, you could probably cut one or two of those a year and get rid of them without risking having the tree go into shock or anything, but I wouldn't go as far as cutting it down just because the roots are on the surface.
Okay, so the surface roots, you're saying cut those, get rid of those.
You can just the ones that are in the way or, you know, causing problems, and I wouldn't do them all at once. I would do, like I said, one or two a year.
Okay.
So yeah. That way it doesn't go into shock. And also, you would probably want to do that in the wintertime, not this time of year in the heat of the summer. It would be easier on the tree and probably on you.
Okay.
So that's interesting about the pine tree, that it's got the root that goes straight down is really its main taproot then.
Right.
Okay. So, Melva, are you seeing any other signs? I mean, does it look healthy otherwise?
It's healthy.
Okay.
It's pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Should we still water the tree?
If it's been there for 35 years, it can pretty much take care of itself. If we don't get any rain, if we don't get rain for a long period of time, if we're officially in a drought, which, you know, we got some decent rain last week, I guess. But other than that, we hadn't had much. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, if we don't get some pretty substantial rain in the next couple of weeks, you might need to start watering it. Because, yeah, it is getting dry.
Is there an age on pine trees? I mean, do they last as long as an oak tree? Or
not near as long as an oak. I mean, but you ought to be able to get, that 35 to 50 years is pretty good for a pine tree, I would think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Pine tree, you know, it has gotten so tall, and I noticed that it will sway, you know, from side to side when the when you know it's raining really bad, or mm-hmm. you know we get bad weather. So I'm afraid too sometimes that it may fall.
Right. Now, you know, if that's a concern and, you know, you start seeing some dead branches in it or any dead growth, then, you know, that means it's starting to be on the decline. So at that point, you might want to think about getting it removed.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All righty.
Well, thanks for listening, Melva. Have a great weekend. This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610. This is Sandy, but most importantly, we have our expert Joey here from Enchanted Gardens, and he is taking your questions at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333. Thanks for listening, and we will return after this.
Stop root disease before it kills. Pre-treat your plants with Monterey Lawn and Garden Complete Disease Control. Use as a drench to protect roots from soil diseases and root rot. Organically triggers your plant's immune system, improving nutrient uptake and overall plant health. Use as a foliar spray to control powdery mildew, leaf spots, rust, fire blight, and other diseases. Grab Monterey Lawn and Garden Complete Disease Control at your favorite Garden Pro Nursery, MontereyLawnGarden.com.
The Home Show Garden Pros are here to help you be a better gardener with tips from pros you can trust. Members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
Hi, this is John Ferguson from Nature's Way Resources. Come visit our nursery up in the Conroe Woodlands area.
I'm Joey Linderman from Enchanted Nurseries and Landscapes in Richmond.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros Co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com or call now at 281-833-3333.
Good morning. It is a warm Saturday, Memorial Day weekend holiday. I hope you are all doing well, and I hope that you are all going to be able to take advantage of some outdoor time and some quiet time and maybe even some busy time out in the yard and garden. It's always fun to dabble. I'm a dabbler in the yard and garden. I don't usually plan a big project. I kind of see one section and I'm like, okay, I need to deal with over here. And that's where I've gotten my satisfaction. But I guess we all, enhance our yard and garden differently. But we have Bruce on the line. Bruce, good morning. What is on your mind for your lawn and garden this weekend?
Hey, good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two different subjects, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have a zoysia lawn, and there's a lot of thatch because it went dormant during the winter, and so I called in about a month ago, and I was told to put humates on there and then some fertilizer and so forth. And first of all, to mow it down real low, which I did, and got rid of most of the thatch. But now I put the humates on there and some slow-release fertilizer, premium lawn food. And we had that rain recently, so the front of the lawn has started to come back with new grass. But the back is not showing any kind of growth or reaction at all. So I'm not sure. Maybe the heat from the first 3 weeks of May and all the dryness killed the grass. I don't know what to think.
How much are you watering?
I did not do any watering at all for the first 3 weeks. But now, like I said, we had that rain. And then I watered yesterday. And so, like I say, the sides of the house and the front of the lawn are starting to come back. But the back is not reacting at all.
Right. And the back, is that, what side of the house is that?
North side.
North side, yeah. You know, hard to tell. Zoysia will kind of go dormant if it gets too dry. But it should come back, you know, once it gets consistent water for a little while. I've got the same issue at a house that's got zoysia, and it doesn't have a sprinkler system, so it gets water when it rains or when I drag a hose out there and actually water it, which is not that often.
Okay.
So you'll see it you should see it recover once you get consistent water on it for a couple of weeks. Do it, try to water it three times a week and kick it back into gear. I would think that would do it, but it was just so dry earlier in the spring before that rain that a lot of things kind of went into almost a summer dormancy. So that's probably what it is, I would guess.
Well, okay, since I haven't really seen any kind of diminishing of the thatch, should I put a little bit extra more, another round of application of humates on there and water it in?
That could help. So you mowed it short?
Short, yes, I did.
Yeah. You might try to rake some of that out and see how effective that is.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's kind of a job to do it, but it would work and it would be faster.
What about any houses, his soil, any leaf mold compost? Would that help?
Getting the thatch out first and then topping it with compost probably be the best.
Okay, because the thatch may be sort of suffocating that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. The second item I want to talk about is I have a plumeria in a large pot. And so that thing has leafed out beautifully. And I've been applying, like I was told, my last phone call about a month ago, to BR61 every 2 weeks until the thing flowers. Well, I water it more regularly than my grass. I water the flower beds. And the flowers are doing well, but the plumeria, even though it's leafed out tremendously, there's still no sign of any kind of blooms at all.
Yeah, they kind of bloom whenever they want, but they should be starting to show some signs of buds or blooms pretty soon. How much sun is that plumeria getting?
Full sun.
Full sun.
All
okay, good.
Long.
And then how often are you watering it?
let's see. I don't know. Maybe a couple. Do it maybe every other day.
Yeah. Just make sure you don't overwater it. They would rather stay a little bit on the dry side.
Is it in the ground or in a pot?
It's in a huge pot.
Yeah.
I have
I have one that's doing the same thing. I've got lots of leaves, but I don't have any blooms yet. And I have a friend who's posting pictures of her beautiful blooms, and so I'm not liking her right now.
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
Well, I was told to put BR61 on there every 2 weeks until it does bloom. How about should I put maybe an alternate, a little Carl Pools, that stuff they put on there to make your plants bloom?
There's a specific plumeria food made by Nelson Plant Food. That's probably what I would use.
Oh, okay. And alternate that with a BR61, I guess?
I'm not familiar with the BR61.
Yeah, but the Nelson's, I know, yes, I've seen that label. I don't think I've ever used it. I need to get some, too. So the Nelson's food has a plumeria specific.
Yep.
And it's a granule. So we should sprinkle that on, water it in, I'm assuming?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Maybe that'll help with your plumeria and mine.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for taking my calls.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
A good Saturday. Well, we are at Home Show Garden Pros, Sports Radio 610, 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333. When we return, we will take Martha's call.
Your soil is like a rechargeable battery. The better it is, the longer the energy lasts. Landscaper's Pride soils and premium mulches are made from locally sourced all-organic materials capable of handling the summer's heat and feeding your plants efficiently. Landscaper's Pride's mulches and amendments mixes are blended to help plants thrive in the clay and sandy loam found in southern Texas. It's trusted by garden professionals, so grab a bag of Landscaper's Pride at a Garden Pro nursery and recharge. Find a retail location near you at landscaperspride.com.
May is tomato harvest season. No need for high nitrogen fertilizer. Good compost and minerals is all it takes to bring the big fruit. How's your garden growing? Get the help it takes with the Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Hi, everybody. It's Anita from Nelson's Nursery and Water Gardens. It seems like the heat has set in and summer is here. Is this the summer that you're going to put in a fountain or a water garden in your yard? imagine the evenings when the temperatures have dropped and you're sitting outside enjoying a beverage. Maybe it's an adult beverage, while savoring your garden and listening to the music of a water feature or disappearing fountain. Can you picture it? We can make it happen for you. Simply head out to Nelson's, stroll our nursery, and look for that perfect pot, and the next thing you know, it's in your garden. In addition to fountains, Nelson's has all the fish and aquatic plants you need for a water garden. We're also a fully stocked garden center with all the plants, plant food, and soils and mulches you can imagine. And speaking of soils, this weekend is the Water Efficient Product Sales Tax Holiday, when plants, mulches, soils, compost will all be tax-free. So stock up this weekend. Nelson's is located on the west side of Houston, just off the I-10. You can find us. And now back to Sandy and Joey.
Good morning. This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610 at 281-833-3333. And we've got Martha on the line. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning to all of you this morning.
Yes. Morning.
And I was calling about my tomato plant. I started a garden this summer, and it's a small garden. And I put down some tomato plants, and they're growing really, really tall and bushy. But I'm not getting any tomatoes on it, just one or two here and there.
When were your tomato plants planted?
Oh, they were planted about maybe 2 months ago.
2 months ago. So late March.
Correct.
Do you know what type of tomato plants they are?
Well, they're not the big ones, the medium size. I forgot the actual name of them.
Gotcha. So there's two different types of tomatoes. There's determinate tomatoes and indeterminate tomatoes. If you've got determinate tomatoes, they will not really be able to pollinate once the temperatures get as hot as they've been. You know, and since it got hot so early this year, I mean, it was in the mid-90s in early May, it seems like. So that kind of slowed the production down. If you want a tomato plant that's going to produce into the summer or sometimes through the summer, the indeterminate varieties are the best way to do it. They are mostly the cherry types,
right?
Not the big slicing types.
What I have done better, just put them like on the patio, like patio tomatoes. Can I probably do that instead of putting them in the garden?
It's going to be the same temperature whether they're in the pot or in the garden, so that's not going to have a whole lot to do with it, really. But planting tomatoes early in the season, if you're going to do slicing tomatoes, the medium or the larger tomatoes, planting them in late February or early March, that'll give them time to get pollinated and ripen before the temperatures get up there too much.
Got it.
Planting cherry tomatoes, the indeterminate varieties, they will produce longer into the heat.
Okay. So I was thinking about maybe pulling them up because they're taking almost the whole garden, and I may not, you know, get any more tomatoes off of them. So I was thinking of pulling them up, getting rid of them.
Right. Yeah, if it doesn't appear that they're getting pollinated and making more small tomatoes, then you could do that and go ahead and put in something that that will produce in the heat, okra, eggplant, sweet potato, black-eyed peas, something like that.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
All righty. Thanks for calling.
That answered my question.
Good
deal. I'm going to go out there and pull them all up.
All right, get to work.
Thanks, Martha.
Okay, I will. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so great. You had mentioned the earlier planting of those tomatoes and the cherry tomatoes are the ones that are the indeterminate. I was going to ask you that. Okay,
right.
So that's one that might last a little bit longer in fruiting. Okay,
yep.
But this is basically the end of tomatoes.
Yeah, you know, some of the cherry tomatoes will produce into the summer
Okay, so they'll even go a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we get them planted early enough. But then a good thing for she could go to okra or sweet potato now, said.
Sure.
That's
enough.
Awesome. Well, I hope she has good luck with that. And I always love those calls about the new gardens. I'm like, yay, I'm so glad, because I'm a new gardener within the last couple of years. So, Joey, we have got a question here online from David, and I showed you the picture at the break. He says, should I extract this large shoot or the large shoots coming out of my blackberry plants? And these were like, they were leafy shoots.
Right. You can cut them back if they're bothering you, but it's just kind of a natural thing. Blackberries will send up those big shoots every now and then. It's just, you know, it's growing. You know, oh. It's just new growth.
Okay.
So I probably would not worry about it. It's not going to have any negative effects on the plant.
Yeah, so just kind of leave it alone.
Right.
Okay, all right. Because it did look weedy, but when they grow that quickly, you wonder, is it a good guy or a bad guy?
They are a weed, basically. Yeah. You know, they grow on the side of the road.
Right, right. Okay, so leave them. And then we have a question from James. He says he wants a green plant that'll grow no taller than about 24 inches. So it sounds like he wants a shrub.
Yep. So if it's a sun type thing, boxwoods would work, regular old boxwoods. There's dwarf yaupon hollies or the micron hollies that would work. There's dwarf yonimus that would be suitable for that kind of situation.
Okay.
Those are going to be some of the better options.
Okay. What if it's more of a shaded area? I mean, it's going to be hard to get a green plant in a shaded area.
Yeah. There's different sorts of azaleas that you can keep at 24 inches. There's the dwarf radicans, gardenia that you can keep that low.
Oh, yeah. And that'll bloom for them. Okay.
Right. There's probably some mahonias that you can keep that low.
All right. Now, sorry, back to the sun ones, the boxwoods and the dwarf holly. Does he need to trim those? Is he going to need to trim?
Yeah, they're going to need to be trimmed to keep them that height.
Okay.
So, but not a whole lot.
Okay. Each year?
Yeah. Probably once a year. Trimming would be good.
All right. Well, good. I will get that answer back to James.
All righty.
And this is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610. And we are at 281-833-3333. 281-833-3333. We will return after this.
Now, back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
And we're back. Give us a call at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333, at Home Show Garden Pros. We have got a special guest on the line, Jacob from Monterey Lawn and Gardens. Jacob, what do you have for us this spring for our lawns and gardens?
So we have our Monterey Complete Disease Control. This product is a beneficial bacteria of the Bacillus family. It's OMRI listed for organic gardening. Works really well as a preventative fungicide that will control things like your powdery mildew, downy mildew, early and late blight, some of your root rot diseases, and a lot of other things. It's a really unique product. Whenever you're first planting your garden, you can use it as a soil drench, and that bacteria will actually colonize around the root system of the plant and prevent those diseases from ever becoming a problem. In addition to your vegetable gardens, you can use it on your lawn and your flower beds, around your trees and shrubs. We offer it in a couple of different sizes, including our convenient ready-to-use and ready-to-spray bottles.
And Jacob, where can I find to purchase this preventative?
So you can find it at your Home Show Garden Pro garden centers that are part of this radio show.
Okay. And what about your website?
It can be found on our website as well, MontereyLawnAndGarden.com.
Great. So you can go to Home Show Garden Pros or you can go to MontereyLawnAndGarden.com to find this preventative treatment. Thank you very much, Jacob.
Thank you.
This is Sandy at Home Show Garden Pros. I am here with our Home Show Garden Pro expert, Joey Linderman from Enchanted Forest and Enchanted Garden. That was Will who just dropped something on the floor. So, welcome to the show, and we are at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333, and join our chat. Let us know what's on your list for this weekend, this long weekend. Just a reminder, for the Memorial Day holiday weekend, there is a tax-free benefit we all get. If you go to one of our Home Show Garden Pros, garden centers, there is a tax-free when you purchase any of your soils or your plants. So that's a great deal. You know, we can all use a little extra pennies in our pocket.
Might as well take advantage of it.
Might as well take advantage of it. So let us know if there's anything, any hints you need on maybe what you need to be adding to your garden or your lawn, and just wander around one of our Home Show Garden Pros or take a tour of many of them, because they're all unique, but they are all similar. They're beautiful. Variety is unbelievable. So enjoy those visits. So, Joey, we get calls and we get emails. So this is not your favorite subject, and we've already talked about ants today, but I got a laugh out of this one. So Ray sent an email in, and he's talking about fire ants versus crazy ants. First of all, I'm not sure I can identify which is which, but he said he had an infestation of crazy ants a few years ago, and he bought a white liquid insecticide concentrate that he mixed with water. After only one application, it eliminated all the crazy ants completely. I thought I'd heard somewhere that crazy ants kill fire ants. Is this true?
You know, I hadn't heard anything about crazy ants killing fire ants. They might compete, you know, but from what I've heard, I don't have that much experience with crazy ants, but I think that the only time I've heard about crazy ants, or I've dealt with them, they've been in a house.
Okay.
So I hadn't really seen much of them outside.
Okay. Can you describe on the radio? I know it's kind of like doing math on the radio, but what is the difference between a fire ant and a crazy ant?
Fire ants are like a regular ant, and then the crazy ants are the crazy ones.
Okay. I could have said that.
No, they're smaller. They're smaller, and they're really quick. Like, they run around.
Oh, okay.
They're like twice as fast as a fire ant.
Okay, but they're smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what he's talking about. All right. So, and then in all caps, he's like, why can't they invent something that kills these ants? Okay, well, we don't know. If we knew, we'd be wealthy. But I'm going to circle back to what you had mentioned earlier with our discussion about ants. And you said one way is the Come and Get It is a good product. And tell me again, is it a granule or do we
mix it? Yeah, it's a granule.
Okay, it's a granule. So that's one thing. And then you mentioned orange oil, mixing it.
Right, orange oil and water. Yep.
Okay. All right. So those are our options there for ants. But I just got to kick out of his very emphatic wanting to know how to solve this ant problem. And like I said before, you know, sometimes if it's not spreading, you know, they're there for a reason sometimes. You know, they may help do some aerating for you. Just keep them away from house and pets and kids.
When we had that crazy ant problem at our old house, I had to get a
exterminator
to come take care of it, because I just couldn't get rid of them. That was in the house. I don't have any experience with them outside, if that's
right,
where he's got them.
Yeah. And that can be dangerous in the house too, because it's hard to find the source.
Right.
Is what I've found. And that's sometimes when you have to just have a different expert. You are an expert, but maybe on a different, you know, chemical version, which we don't always like, but sometimes you kind of have to go there. So, Joey, let's see. We've got Sean. Sean has sent a question in, and he wants to know, what do I need to use to protect my collard greens from whatever is attacking them? And he goes on to describe. It first appears grayish on areas of the leaves, as if the top bottom layer of the leaf has been removed, leaving only the inner membrane. Then the inner membrane disappears, leaving a hole in the leaf. So he says, I use sulfur, lime, and bone meal when watering the ground around the plant.
If the leaves are kind of mottled and then eventually there's holes in them, then it's probably a little caterpillar getting to them. Sometimes they're on the bottom side of the leaf, so you got to look closely.
Okay.
But that BT worm killer that we talked about earlier, that would be the most effective thing if that's what it is. You know, those are more of a cool weather plant, so, you know, they're going to struggle going into the heat. I have heard of people keeping them through the summer.
Okay.
But they are going to, you know, get a little bit weaker and more susceptible to insects and diseases during the heat.
Okay. And the BT worm killer, is that's what it is, BT as
BT,
in
boy. Bacillus thuringiensis.
Okay.
Yep.
And he should probably, we're getting into June, should he just be pulling these up at this point?
He can. Like I said, I've heard of people keeping them all summer, so if it, you know, if it's working for him,
okay,
then by all means,
okay,
keep it up.
If he's getting success, then keep it up. What are some other things he could plant in that garden area?
This time of year, as we go into the summer, peppers will still produce all summer. Okra is a good one. Sweet potatoes. There's cowpeas or black-eyed peas.
Ooh, fun.
Those would also be a summer crop.
Okay. All righty. And will the worm attack those plants too, or is it specific to these collard?
It's probably, different insects attack different plants, yeah. But the ones I mentioned, they're not so bad as far as insects go during the heat of the summer.
Not as susceptible. Awesome. This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610, and we are at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333. Thanks for listening, and we will return after this.
Mike Ball knows irrigation.
Over 30 years.
He looks at yards, sees issues like underwatering,
dead zones, yellowing, sick trees,
overwatering,
brown patch, weeds, root rot.
Find the healthy balance with Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting.
Hi, it's Mike. We design and install water-conserving irrigation systems, reducing water waste by 30%, delivering healthier yards and gardens.
Invite Mike Ball Irrigation to review your system.
It's easy, and you'll love the difference.
MikeBallIrrigation.com.
Native plants thrive in Texas heat with less water. Previously, they were hard to find near Conroe or the Woodlands. Till now. Select from hundreds of native plants and summer veggies at Nature's Way Resources Garden Center. Bring your dog, kids, and shop over 2 acres of flowers, vegetables, and plants. Nature's Way experts help you pick the right plants, organic soils, and supplements for success. Nature's Way Resources Garden Center, 45 North at FM 1488, naturewayresources.com.
May means mulching. Mulch veggie beds now to build soil and extend production. Before putting down leaves, compost, or pine straw, fertilize first with alfalfa meal or an organic fertilizer. That's how we grow on this show. Home Show Garden Pros.
The heat is on. Hi, it's Sherry at Plants for All Seasons. We have everything you'll need to get through this hot, humid summer that we're going to experience. With the high humidity and rainfall, we're going to see a lot of lawn fungus. We have all the lawn products that you'll need to take care of the problem. If you're not sure what's happening in your yard, bring pictures into the nursery. Our guys will help you figure out the right solution for the issue. Your vegetable gardens are probably bursting at the seams right now with fresh vegetables. They would like nothing more than a drink of compost tea. Fresh every week and available on the weekends. We just got a huge order of amazing succulents in all different varieties, and our greenhouse is loaded. We are open 7 days a week, 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Our incredible staff is always available to answer all your gardening and lawn questions. You can always find out more by visiting us at plantsforallseasons.com or our Facebook page. We're located at 21328 State Highway 249. And now let's get back to Home Show Garden Pros.
It is a warm Memorial Day weekend and dry. So, yeah, we probably need to get out there and get some watering done. I am here with Joey Linderman from Enchanted Gardens, which is Enchanted Nurseries and Enchanted Forest, two beautiful locations. He is our expert on Home Show Garden Pros this morning, taking your calls at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333. And as Sherry from Plants for All Seasons mentioned, you can go to Facebook pages of all of our Home Show Garden Pros, Plants for All Seasons, Nelson's Nursery and Water Gardens, Nature's Way Resources and Garden Center, and Enchanted Forest and Enchanted Gardens. Both have Facebook pages that they post great information on and to-dos or new and hot items. But we have got Joey here answering your questions at 281-833-3333. So I have my stack of questions from the homeshowgardenpros.com that people send in Ask a Pro questions. And we have one from Todd, who, again, we've got another tomato question. And I have seen these little bugs. He says, how do I get rid of these orange bugs on my tomato plants?
So those are a type of stink bug that will sting the tomato. Basically, you know, they want to suck the juice out of the tomato, right?
They're thirsty.
Eating it. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's going to, you know, you can pick them off if there's not a million of them. Get rid of them that way. or you're going to have to use some sort of organic insecticide.
Okay. And
that, you know, being that it's organic, it's not going to have a long-lasting effect, of course, because you want to eat those vegetables in a few days or a week or whenever it may be. Right. So that's something that you're going to have to do, you know, every week pretty much.
All right. So this question was just coming in this week. So I've also heard you talking about we need to get our tomatoes off right before they're orange.
Right. Before they're when they start turning orange, I'd go ahead and pick them and let them ripen off the vine. You know, they're so close to being ready, so you don't want a bug or a bird or something to come and get them.
Okay.
You know, when they're at that stage. So okay. I'd go ahead and pull them. When they turn red, you know, they're just drawing more attention, especially from the birds.
Okay. Okay. So right before they turn that red, and I can just pull them off and stick them on my windowsill for a few days? Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Because the birds like the liquid inside of them, for sure. And I'm not sure which Home Show Garden Pro mentioned it, but putting even a bird bath nearby could be helpful so they don't go after your fruits. But picking them right before they're orange is a great advice, at least for me, because I'm a new gardener. So I will send that in to Todd. And we have got Bill on the line. Bill, thanks for listening. What do you have for Joey?
Well, hi, Joe. I have planted impatiens in the shade under some trees where I had previously planted potato plants, so that, you know, just for ground coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I planted them about 6 weeks ago, and they get watered every day because I have a sprinkler system, but they've just never grown much at all. They're still about almost the same size as when I planted them. Is there some special fertilizer that impatiens will take?
Not really anything special specifically for impatiens. Just any blooming plant food, like the Color Star fertilizer, would be good. You know, everyday watering could be a little bit too much, and that could kind of stunt their growth.
Ah.
So fill the soil. You know, the even though it's been hot and dry, shady areas don't dry out as quick as you know, the beds out in the sun. So watering every day, depending on how much you're giving them, could be too much water. So double check on that. Just do a little investigating. But it's more than likely a water issue, but fertilizing certainly wouldn't hurt.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Good luck with that. This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610. I am here with Joey Linderman, and he is from Enchanted Gardens. And we are taking your calls at 281-833-3333, and we will return after this.
We believe gardening should be fun. The Home Show Garden Pros are here for you with advice and everything you need to be a better gardener.
Landscaper's Pride Mulches and Soils. Premium quality and locally sourced. Let's grow together.
For a beautiful lawn and garden with less time and effort, use Monterey Lawn and Garden Products.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now. 281-833-3333.
This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610. I'm sitting here with Joey Linderman from Enchanted Gardens. He is our Home Show Garden Pro expert who's rotating through here this morning, this Saturday morning from 7 to 9. We take your calls and we chat with you about your lawn and garden needs, curiosities, maybe even some of your failures, how we can fix those. That's always fun to succeed in something when we maybe didn't do it quite right the first time, or we had something that we couldn't control happen, like the freezes that we had. But we are taking your calls at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333. Speaking of freezes, we have Joseph, who has a hawthorn bush that is half dead from the freeze. So his question is, should he try and let it just come back, or should he remove the whole thing and replace it?
You know, if it hadn't come back good by now, then, you know, it depends on your patience level. If you want to give it some time and nurse it back and trim it to where it gets the right shape, that's nothing wrong with that. But if it's struggled this long and it's not showing, you know, good solid growth, then it's probably going to have, you know, issues long term.
Yeah. So maybe just pull it up and can replace it with another one.
I probably would. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because I had a row of boxwoods and they all did fine except for one right in the middle. And I trimmed it back, and it is growing back. But it's just so interesting how, you know, all of his little friends around him were fine, and he decided he just wasn't strong enough. But he's coming back. So I will get that information to Joseph. But in the meantime, Joey, we've got a line of callers here. We have Chris on the line. Bruce and Jesse are next. So, Chris, what do you have for Joey?
Good morning, Joey.
Hey, morning.
I had some crepe myrtles. Very tall, quite a few of them. And the flowers were getting in my pool. I was sick of them, so I had them chopped down. Well, the pups are growing back with a vengeance. I've tried Roundup. That didn't do it. I tried Diesel. That didn't do it. They just don't seem to want to go away. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, those are the little root suckers that come up from the roots that were, you know, left behind, I guess. Yep. So you could use, there's a little liquid called Sucker Punch, or another type called Sucker Stopper. Look for those. That should help take care of the problem. Other than that, you could use something stronger like a brush killer. And that should take care of it. You know, it's a little stronger than, you know, your general herbicides.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Then one other question. I have a hibiscus that made it through the freeze, but they've never flowered again. They just kind of hang out. They look like little bushes.
Right. Are they getting full sun?
They were. I had them in pots. I just planted them in the ground. And now they get like a half a day of sun.
Okay. Make sure you give them some fertilizer, some sort of blooming plant food. They are kind of heavy feeders. You know, those big blooms take a lot of energy out of the soil. So you need to replace it by fertilizing. And then also make sure they're not getting overwatered. How long ago did you plant them in the ground?
I planted them in the ground maybe 3 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago.
Gotcha. So you still need to be watering them two or three times a week till they get established. Okay. But I think, you know, if they've got minimum 6 hours of sun, you give them some fertilizer and you don't overwater them, then they should kick it in gear. But try giving them some fertilizer.
Okay, good deal. Well, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it.
All right,
thanks, Chris. And that's always such a great reminder. I love it when you give me the whys. You know, you said feed it, but you told us why, because the big blooms are taking a lot of those nutrients. So that's fun to remember. So, Bruce, this is Sandy, but Joey is here to take your question.
Bruce? Hey, good morning again. Thanks for taking my call again. I forgot to talk to you when I was talking to you earlier this morning that I have a Eastern redbud that I planted in the flower bed in the back. Which gets full sun all day long. Now, I bought that in a 7-gallon pot at a nursery there on I-10 back in the spring, and I planted it. And so the trunk is about maybe as big as a number two pencil, all the way up to about 5 feet tall. There are no leaves on the upper two-thirds. The leaves did come out on the bottom third, not too many. Now, above them, about maybe 6 inches above them, little leaves are trying to come out. But for some reason, when they come out, like they're like about as big as a dime, then the edges start to turn black. Hmm. And I don't know why. And also at night, I guess there's some sort of little insect that comes along and bites the edges of the big leaves. It looks like you're taking the first bite out of a sandwich. It's like a half arc. So I'm not sure what's going on there and why the leaves don't come out on the top of the trunk.
So it sounds like the top part of that tree died back. You probably want to scratch the bark and see if it's green underneath there. Just start at the top or as high as you can reach and then scratch the bark. If it's brown under there, work your way down until it turns green, which is probably going to... What's that?
So I should, the part that's dead, just go ahead and cut that off?
Yeah, work your way down until it turns green, and then cut it back to that point, which is, it's probably going to be where the leaves are sprouting out.
Yes.
How much are you watering that tree?
Maybe a couple times a week.
Okay. So what, 5-6 gallons each time?
Well, maybe not that much.
Not that much.
It's hard to determine.
Yeah. So a seven gallon tree should need, you know, 5 to 7 gallons twice a week until it gets established. So keep that in mind. But, you know, by the time you cut it back 2/3, it's not that big a tree anymore. So maybe stay on the 5 gallon side, 5 gallons twice a week.
So why do you think the little leaves are turning black around the edges?
It could be a water issue. You know, whether it's too wet or too dry, you know, hard to tell. But feel the soil before you water next time, and you'll have a pretty good idea. If it's still pretty wet, then you can, you know, go a little bit longer in between waterings. If it's already bone dry, then you'll need to up the watering.
Bruce, did you say you had fed this?
I'm sorry, did I say what?
Did you mention if you had fed it or not, fertilized it?
Does he need any food for it? In a long time.
I mean, does he need to?
If you're going to fertilize this time of year, I would use some sort of organic fertilizer. You don't want to put a whole lot of chemical fertilizers on it, on a already stressed tree going into the heat of the summer.
Okay, so really you're just telling him to...
MicroLife, one of the MicroLife fertilizers would be good.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks again for taking another question from me. I appreciate it.
Thanks. So, again, you're telling us to be careful about the watering. It could be too much. It could be too little.
Yeah, okay. Most of the plant problems have to do with water.
Yeah. So we have to read the soil and read the plant. This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610. Give us a call at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333. When we return, we will talk to Jesse.
Love those brilliant yellow blooms.
Evergreen, ever blooming.
Screaming yellow so bright you can see them from 10,000 feet up.
Summer sun only makes them more beautiful.
They're blossoms of golden sunshine.
Drought tolerant too.
Sunshine ligustrum.
No wonder they buy so many.
People love them.
Just one example of what's waiting for you.
And everything to keep them beautiful.
Nelson's Nursery.
And Water Gardens.
NelsonWaterGardens.com.
Alive in living color.
Just north of I-10 on Katy Fort Bend Road.
Trust MicroLife 624 fertilizer on your trees, turf, flowers, veggies, everywhere without damage. MicroLife 624 in the green label is packed with over 100 minerals and vitamins, in addition to billions of beneficial microbes. Grass needs some love? Add MicroLife Humates Plus 004. Concentrated compost in a bag loaded with humates, microbes, and minerals. Choose MicroLife fertilizers for incredible, nutritious plant growth. Healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy people. MicroLife fertilizers, available at all leading garden centers.
Now, back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
This is Sandy, and I am here at Home Show Garden Pro Sports Radio 610. We were talking about achy bones, so sorry about that. But get out in the garden, and that's always helpful. Stretch those muscles, get some fresh air. We are here with Joey Linderman from Enchanted Forest and Enchanted Gardens, which is south the Richmond-Rosenberg area. Beautiful places. And we are here taking your calls, and we have Jesse. Jesse, what do you have this morning?
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good.
I have a lemon tree, and it bloomed. I put some MicroLife on it at the beginning of March, and it bloomed. But then the blooms started to fall off. The little lemon.
Right. Did they all fall off?
Yes, sir. They did.
Okay. And is it in a pot or in the ground?
It's in the ground.
In the ground. How much water are you giving it?
Not too much, because I did have a lemon tree last year, and I overwatered it, and it died.
Right. So they can drop their blooms or their fruit even, you know, if it's too wet or too dry. You know, once they get a little more established, they can take care of themselves. The only other thing it could have been is there's little bitty insects that can get inside the buds and kind of make them fall off prematurely. So in the wintertime, you might want to spray a dormant oil on them, and that will kind of suffocate the little insects that might be in there and prevent it from happening next year.
Okay.
So the tree is, you think the tree is okay still?
I would think the tree is okay.
Okay, so come wintertime, dormant oil to prevent maybe those bugs from coming. And then once the spring hits, when are we supposed to feed our citrus trees?
Feeding citrus in early spring, like in late February, and then again this time of year, going into the summer is a good call.
Okay. Do you think it's worth, could he feed it again just to see?
Sure. Yeah, lemons and limes will kind of produce, you know, off and on throughout the year. So there's a chance that it could bloom again and set some fruit.
Okay. So don't give up on
it. Yeah, because it's very healthy. It's growing more leaves. It's just that the blooms just fell off.
Okay. All right.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's not the end of the world, so.
So it sounds like you can feed it again also, but don't give up on it. Sounds like you're going to be doing fine with it.
Okay.
All right. Well, enjoy. Have a great weekend. So the fruit trees, that's something that, Enchanted, you have got a great selection of fruit trees.
Yeah, even this time of year, we still got a good selection of blueberries and blackberries and avocado trees. And there's some citrus trees still there.
Mm-hmm. Now, the blueberries and blackberries vines, are one of those vines?
They're kind of more of a sprawling bush, not necessarily a vine.
Okay. All right. And then I planted my apple tree, my Anna apple, and I've already got apples on it.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And it's tall. I've got to stake it because, he needs some help because of those heavy little apples.
But, right.
So in harvesting our fruits, because we didn't talk a lot today about fruits. So you told Jesse that limes and lemons are going to produce on and off even during the summer, into the fall.
They certainly can.
So what about our peaches and our apple trees? And what other trees should we be – are we harvesting anything right now from those
peaches
fruits?
Should be – well, depending on the variety of peach tree, they should have peaches on them and getting ready to start to be ripe if they hadn't been already.
Okay. Is there a size or color we should look for?
It's more about the feel,
Okay.
You don't want to pick them when they're rock hard, but you don't want to pick them when they're extra squishy either. But usually, when you start to see one or two of them start to fall, then you need to be paying close attention to them.
All right. Yeah. And then before the pests get to them.
Yeah. That also. Yeah. There's little wasps or yellow jackets that'll sting them.
Okay. All right. Plums. Apples, same thing.
Same thing. This is the time to be paying close attention to them and try to keep the birds and the insects off of them.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about Enchanted Forest and Enchanted Gardens. Anything really flying off the shelves or something we should be looking for?
We've got lots of great heat-tolerant annuals and perennials, like we just talked about. Lots of great fruit trees. We've got beautiful statuary and pottery. If you're looking for something to put out in the yard that you don't have to water and don't have to take care of. Lots of good statuary.
Right. And then I've seen the different windmills and that sort of thing that you've got out there. Those are fun.
Yep. Lots of things to just everything. There's something new around every corner.
To decorate, your garden in the area. Well, this is Sandy, and this has been Joey here with us from Enchanted Gardens and Enchanted Nurseries, and we so appreciate that you have been here today with us, and we look forward to your next visit in a couple of weeks. I hope you'll have a great weekend, and thanks for being here with us at Home Show Garden Pros Sports Radio 610.
You could spend your whole weekend slogging through that to-do list of chores at home. Or you could go from to-do to done like a boss. Get the help it takes from Houston's go-to guy for the sport of home improvements, Tom Tynan on Home Show Radio.
I listen to your show forever. God bless.
Coming up next after the Home Show Garden Pros.
And anytime you want.
And homeshowradio.com. Pros you can trust. Tips, advice, videos, and the Home Show podcast. Always on.
Always free.
Homeshowradio.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.